Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, it's Jessica from Fat Mascara.
Hi, I'm Jen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Jess, how are you?
I'm well. Listen, I'm hyped because
you're back on the mic.
That's true. That's true. For anyone, I don't know if people follow along like consecutively, so they might
not even
know.
A lot of people do. They've missed you. They're excited you're here.
Well, I'm back and I came back for a special. I'm dipping in because I would not miss National Fragrance Week. I mean, are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Of course.
I love fragrance and I thought, listen, we got to collab with somebody. And who else is on the horn talking about fragrance more than we are? It's Emma Vernon of the Perfume Room Pod.
It is. And just so you know, if you're like not in the United States and you're like, what the heck are they talking about? The Fragrance Foundation here in the United States
is
National, National Fragrance Week, which this year starts on March 18th. So we're a little bit early, but we wanted to ease you into National Fragrance Week with a fragrance chat. So we have Emma Vernon, who is the host of Perfume Room, one of our favorite podcasts. Go listen if you have not listened to it yet. She's also big on TikTok and the socials. You can find her at Emma_Vern, V-E-R-N. That's her TikTok handle where she reviews fragrance. She educates about fragrance. She's funny. She makes us laugh.
She's very down to earth. Like, fragrance can be very hoity-toity, if I can use that expression. But she makes it fun.
Yeah, we've talked about some other fragrance influencers that give us a vibe. Emma's vibe is, your best friend is here.
Or they're just showing you their collections. Like, I don't need to see seven rooms of fragrance that you don't even use.
And I don't need to yell at me in a skin-tight suit about how you're the most beautiful man in the world smelling fragrances. You know, there's just like fragrance influencers out there that's not who Emma is.
Emma is just a cool
girl.
She's
like, welcome to the club.
Yeah, she is fun. She's very cool. So why don't we just get into it and let Emma take it away? Emma, it's been a little bit.
I know. I'm so happy to be back on Fat Mascara.
We've seen each other out and about. You're like on the fragrance beat.
Well, that's where I run into you both. And it's like the joy of my night when I get to see your faces and catch up.
It's funny because when we first spoke, it was 2021, which feels like a long time ago now because I guess it is like 3 years ago. When we talked, it was like we were talking about comedy. We were talking about dating. We were talking about so much stuff. And now I feel like every time we see you, it really is. And when I see you online, it really is all fragrance all the time. You're killing it with the Perfume Room Pod on TikTok. You've got tons and tons of followers. Give us a quick summary. Like, what's keeping you busy lately?
Perfume. I really have pivoted full time to perfume.
You've done a perfume pivot. People don't know. You were a professional matchmaker and like a legacy matchmaker.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it started for funsies and then I took on a few private clients. Then I had some experiences where I was like, maybe I don't want to do this with private clients. And then I kind of wrapped it up. I was having a conversation with this woman who puts together TEDx talks, and she wanted me to do a talk about matchmaking. And she said to me in the conversation, she was like, "You are too much of a multi-hyphenate. It's too much." She was like, "You're a comedian who does matchmaking, who loves perfume." And she's like, "You have to just drop it." And that resonated with me. I understood what she was saying. I was like, I don't sound like a real person. But when I got off that call with her, all of a sudden I had this gut-wrenching moment where I was like, I can't drop the perfume. And that was the moment that I was like, perfume is the thing. And then from there, I really have pivoted to doing that full time. And everything else has kind of just taken a back seat. So this is the 2024 me.
Quick sidebar. It's funny because I've met a lot of people who are like, I do this and I do that. And like, I do think people can be a lot of things. But I do think that a lot of people, just like people as like a general thing, like they can't handle, like, unless you're... Like, even Madonna, like, people couldn't handle when she was an actress, too.
They don't know. You can't put Madonna in a box, and people don't know what to do when you try, right?
But I think people can't handle when people do a lot of things. And it's funny that, like, that forced you to edit, like, that conversation, and you're like, I can't give up perfume.
And I hate that this is the case, because there are so many people who, like, have so many different hustles and have so many things that they're doing. But I think it almost doesn't sound believable or credible when you have too many things. Like, I started talking to people and I was like, well, you're not going to believe the next thing that's going to come out of my mouth. And so, like, as I was pitching myself, I was like, I don't, like, what am I? What is this?
But I do believe it. I do think people can be a lot of things, but I
Me
think
too.
Generally Gen Pop can't handle it, which is why Madonna never had
Gen
her
Pop.
Moment.
Is that what we're calling the general public, general population? I love that.
Well, in a prison, it's like
Gen It's Pop. Also what my stepson calls my father. Gen Ma and Gen Pop.
I feel like the general population, I don't think they can handle it.
Yeah, they like putting people in boxes.
They like to put people in boxes, but Emma has so many talents. But I think it's so funny that perfume, not funny, I think it's cool that perfume was like a heart, so close to your heart.
Yeah, that's where it kind of
A girl loves
out,
what she so. Loves, right?
Yeah, I love what I love.
That was so deeply personal.
Well, that means that you're going to have even more expertise and knowledge to bring us, but a little bit has changed since 2021. This is so funny. You guys, we talked, I don't know if you both realize this, the end of 2021. Then the NPD group comes along, first half of 2022, sales of women's perfume rose 137% year over year. Men's colognes up 100%. I mean, do you think it was the first Fat Mascara Perfume Room collab that did that? I mean,
100%. Oh, I think the Gen Pop is listening to Fat Mascara. I think they tuned into that episode and there was a major shift, a cataclysmic shift in the world after that episode came out. So,
I mean, the numbers don't lie, you guys. Yeah. We're market movers.
Crazy. It's crazy what the three of us did, but we have to be so proud of it.
You're welcome. No, but seriously, it doesn't seem surprising, I think, to the three of us. But Emma, where do you see the surge coming from, especially in luxury perfume? Like in the last 2 to 3 years? Wow.
I have so many reasons why I think there's been such a surge of fragrance. I feel like if we want to go back a few years ago, people were like, well, everybody is at home, lockdown, so they need scents to like help shift their mood or their space or whatever. But now I think, one, no matter how good your day is, no matter how horrible your day is, no matter how beautiful you feel, no matter how bad you feel, whether you feel like you've lost too much weight or you've gained too much weight, whatever is going on with you physically, you can always fit into perfume. It's not something you need to like... Mm-hmm. be right for. Like perfume is always right for you if you want to wear perfume. And so in that case, it doesn't discriminate where like there are certain days where I'm just like, this outfit is not going to work for me today. This look is not going to work for me today. I have bad makeup days where I'm just like, I just can't do the lip that I'm wearing right now, which I put on before this episode and I'm wearing gym clothes and it's bizarre. But you can always put on perfume. And to follow that up, I think perfume can, the purpose of it can change. Like it can be the mask or it can be the reveal. And so if you are feeling like, thank you for that. I thought about this one. If you are thinking.
Love that. That is your pull quote.
Thank you so much. If you feel that who you are in this moment is not who you would like to project or who you aspire to be, perfume can shift that or help you like manifest where you're trying to go. But if you are looking to editorialize exactly who you are and you want it to be like the period at the end of the sentence or like the way that you think about a manicure to match the outfit or the accessories, it can be the thing that is like your point of view. And I think we've seen this shift in other categories as well. Like I think we've seen a big astrology boost and everybody is so into their big three and their charts or like anagrams or human design. Like people are so into who they are and finding ways that they can identify. So I feel like perfume is another layer of how people can like, I'm a gourmand girly or like just like different things like
their
that.
Aesthetic, like how you can categorize. If you yes. will, as much I as mean, I hate that word.
Gloss Haze perfume is called you. So
exactly. It's like about defining yourself.
Jess, what do you think? You have the business side of it too. Like, what do you see the reasons for such a surge?
I mean, I think like Emma, it's a few different things. This is like instinctual. I think it's this idea of like aesthetics, like this idea of it creates like a vibe or a mood.
Personal brand.
Yeah. And I think there is such an interest in luxury the past few years from like aspirational luxury. I guess you could say that's also been like kind of turned off a little bit since, let's face it, like there is a recession to some people and some, you know, some people aren't aware of it. Some people are, but it's for a few $100, $200-$300, you can have something that feels it's no worse and no better than like the 0.111% are also wearing. And I think that's very sexy to a lot of people. Like this is the height. It's almost like Francis Kurkdjian Baccarat Rouge. Like this is the most glamorous fragrance you can wear. And it's a couple $100s and it was positioned that way, maybe not intentionally by the brand, but like just sort of the cultural social media positioning. You can run with that, but you can't do the same with a car or a Birkin or a house.
I totally agree with that.
You know? It's like you can buy into that vibe.
Right. You can walk out of a Chanel store with a Chanel bag and have spent a couple $100s instead of several $1,000s. Or like just thinking about what you just said, there's an account that I follow, or I don't even know if I follow them or it just gets served to me. But it's like basically this guy goes around, I think like Palm Beach, and he looks for people that he deems to be like old money people. And he's like, can you tell us about your outfit? And then they have clearly like they're wearing Bruno Cucinelli from head to toe and then they're carrying a Birkin or whatever. But then you ask the fragrance they're wearing and it's attainable. And it's something you might have. You might not have the Birkin and you might not have the Bruno Cucinelli Runway Couture, but you could have the same Byredo scent that they're wearing.
Exactly. Like it's never, I mean, of course, like $500 is a lot of money and you slice it into some people, they're never going to have a disposable $500 or maybe a disposable $200. Mm-hmm. But there's a big segment of people who do have that. So that's where it is. But fewer people are ever going to have a disposable $4,000, $5,000 in the way that to buy a Chanel tiny purse, you know, something like that. The other thing is like that corny word, but like the storytelling and fragrance, if you get it right, is like amazing. And we were at the DS and Durga thing the other day, Jen and I, and
good launch of Black Magenta. Yeah.
And the co-founder, he was saying, I hope he doesn't mind me like repeating this, but it was just like aside. He was like, it's not that hard to go off the beaten path with storytelling and fragrance because it's been the same for so long. It's the French founder, the fields, the triangle. So I think there's been so much more creative storytelling in the past few years.
Wait, is the triangle the pyramid, like the old
yeah, yeah, the pyramid.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's just been so conservative for so long. And now you have brands like DS and Durga and the brands that Emma's going to tell us about. So it feels fresh.
You get wild.
You get wild by just like literally like breaking free from that same story.
Yeah. Well, just so everybody's looped in on what we plan to do here in honor of course, National Fragrance Week. It's sort of like, you guys are going to hate this, but I wanted to call it a smell and tell. Is anyone here for
it? I love it.
Okay, good.
You should trademark that. Smell and tell.
Oh, good. I'm glad you guys are on board. I knew you were on board with the concept, but the name came to me as I was preparing, and I was like, perfect, let's see if they're in. But you would have show and tell, and it was so much fun to bring these discoveries to the storytelling Jess was talking about. Like, I found this story. This thing made me think. It gets a little cerebral. Let me tell you about it. Let's share it together. So we asked Emma to bring some sense to do a little of that with. And I realized that people listening are going to be like, well, I don't have that fragrance. Trust me, it's still going to be fun and enjoyable because it'll bring up other things. And that's what's great about fragrance, right? You're not just talking about the juice. You're talking about the story, the founder.
Exactly.
The themes that come up, the trends. So
see if you want to plunk down a couple $100.
That too. Actually, some of the ones that Emma brought, I was like, this is pretty good. So with that, do you guys want to get into it? Like, I'll let you, Emma, kind of pick what we talk about first.
Yeah.
But let's get into it. What did you bring us for your smell and tell?
Okay. So I tried, love the smell and tell. I tried to get things that either launched in 2024 or like the very tail end of 2023 so that it's like really like what we are seeing come out now. There might be a few, I think there's one exception to this, but I wanted to bring a few. I brought five different items to show and tell that I think are reflective of things that are happening right now or things that are on the precipice of happening. And maybe this is like a very early like precursor to a trend that we'll see in the next year or two, but I think something's coming. So the first one that I brought is Une Pistache from Obvious Parfum. I don't know if you guys want to smell it while we talk about it.
I have it at my desk at work. I'm actually, I'm smelling. Oh,
here's my ASMR like sound effect.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
You like that, guys?
What's going on with the pistache? What's happening this year with pistache? Come on, Emma. Break it down for us.
So I feel that nuts and this sort of like alternative gourmand trend kind of started about 2 years ago. Like we really started seeing, I mean, and of course you can find fragrances from 2018 that had this too, but like in terms of it really being mass market and really seeing it all over the place, seeing it in the niche space, in the designer space, in the luxury space, I feel like kind of starting in, about 2022, we started seeing more fragrances with nutty notes come out. You were talking about Dia Sendurga Pistachio, which came before Une Pistache. There was the K.L.E., what is it? Yummy gelato pistachio? Yummy pistachio gelato yum? Yum pistachio gelato?
I don't know, but we're not going to
It's a combination
keep saying
of those.
Words.
Yeah, okay.
Yum, yum, yum. Okay, it's a combination of yum, gelato, and pistachio. And there was Wilhelm Parfumery fragrance also with pistachio.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
Faces of Francis. And there are others. Those are just like a few that are coming to me. But so this nutty thing, I think really is interesting. I think the reason it took off is because there were so many scents that had a sort of very, very traditional gourmand kind of sweetness to them. And I think people were craving something that felt like maybe they were in the bakery, maybe they were having that sort of warmth. But I think this also, if you look at like what time we were in, as these scents started to come out, a lot of it was when people were looking for something cozy that would be enveloping on their own skin. And maybe they weren't going out in public. Maybe they weren't leaving their houses as much. So they didn't need to wear this maximalist chocolate, cupcake, whatever. They just wanted something that felt like that feeling, but that they would wear on their couch or that they would wear during their workday.
Yeah, the gourmands were so sensual for a while. They're like dripping in cherries and like sexiness. And these are more cozy.
Like cozy. And I think this has a big, I don't have the pyramid in front of me, but I think this has like some rootiness too. I think this has carrot. I think this has iris. And so we start to kind of see these sort of like cozy, starchy, nutty, rooty fragrances.
You know what I'm tempted to do? I'm tempted to play that person, like, you know, on the Today Show where there's always the person who's like trailing along and is like, carrot, what else is in here?
Yeah, so Jess, for people listening, you don't have this one in front of you, right?
Oh, like a salad.
Well, I love a carrot.
Oh, my God. Emma, have you ever done morning television?
When I was doing matchmaking, I did one TV interview. It was a fun time.
You know what we're talking about then, because Jess and I have had to do this. Mm-hmm. And there's always the rogue anchor person.
Yeah, who is like kind of like half mocking the segment, but like moving it along.
That's so true. Like someone was hired to just sort of gently roast, but it's not like hilarious. It's just sort of like, really?
I think that's how Al Roker, I mean, I know he did the weather, but it's kind of Al Roker a little bit, you know?
I love it. I love it. It's like, you're going to put this in your hair?
So that's the purpose of this. It is, for your hair.
Wait, it's Just so everybody knows what's going on, our rogue anchor at the morning show has just abandoned this segment. Jess actually had to just go deal with something real quick. But Emma, I was going to say, I pulled up the pyramid while you were talking, because when I smell un pistache, I got a macaron vibe, like a very almondy vibe. And then I was like, maybe I don't know the difference between an almond and a pistachio. And that's the issue. But I look at the heart note here and it says pistachio milk. So obviously the nut accord they were going with does have a creamy, almondy kind of quality. It's really nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's like milky. It's definitely lactonic. It's nutty. And I think this is sort of like the gentle gourmand or the in-between gourmand, because there's also a lot of savory gourmands that have hit the market as well. Like, we've seen beetroot have a moment, and there have been a few fragrances that have come out that have really leaned into like the smells of a vegetable garden.
Rhubarb's coming back a little. I know that's fruitier, but I've been seeing a lot of rhubarb.
This is sort of like that in-between space. Like, maybe you're saving something that gets a little bit more intense, a little bit more like desserty for when you're going out. Maybe you want something that's a little bit more green, a little bit more vegetal, to just have like a sort of refreshing morning. But un pistache is kind of like that comforting, cozy, tried and true nuttiness. And I think we're seeing a lot of that now. I don't think it started this year, but I think it will continue into this year.
Good call. I trust you on that trend. And this one just... we'll put all these, by the way, in the show notes so that we'll link to them. This one's from Avius Parfum, a smooth, creamy, opulent dessert, they call it. That was a good one. Should we keep going? I feel like we can, right?
Yeah. Okay. So
this leads, it does lead nicely into your next one. I've noticed this little trend.
Thank you. Okay. So I'm so glad you noticed, because the next one that I wanted us to smell, I think it is a little bit more reflective of right now, where I feel like Un Pistache could have come out a year and a half ago, could have come out this year. Lust Eau Delice from Chris Collins is the next fragrance I wanted us to smell. Thought it was a good segue, because I think brands are sort of taking note of the pistachio trend and putting their own twist on it. This is a big hazelnut note in it. So I think we're going to see maybe we'll see macadamia, maybe we'll see walnut, maybe we'll see more hazelnut. I haven't seen an eggcorn perfume. I have yet to see that.
Please see Emma's perfume room episode that we're recording after this. I might get some acorn knowledge into that one, just so you know. This is hazelnut? Because I get a very rummy, like a rummy kind of sensuality to it when I smell it.
I love this fragrance. Yeah. So this has a dark chocolate. It has hazelnut.
Chocolate. That's what it is. Like a chocolate-covered cherry.
Yes, exactly. It has oud. It has orris, and it has a musk called helvetalide, which kind of mirrors the velvetiness that you get in orris. I love this scent. I think this wears really beautifully. I'm not one to talk about like compliment getters. And to be honest, I don't know what's happened to me recently, but like, I'm not really getting compliments, even though I think I'm wearing like the coolest perfumes under the sun. I like walk around at like begging to be smelled and perceived, and I don't get that many compliments. This one was definitely perceived. I wore this out to a party and like six different people. Nope, that's a hyperbole. Four. I'll be honest. I'll check myself. Four people stopped me and asked me what I was wearing.
Four in one night, since she's not exaggerating, is a lot of people to comment on a scent.
I'd say so. Yeah, like separately.
Any more than one. If one person says I smell good, I think it's a winner. You know what I mean?
I agree. Yeah. But the reason I think this fragrance is so interesting is, okay, so one, we've sort of pivoted from Un Pistache, which is sort of like a nice sort of starchy, rooty, warm, cozy pistachio scent. Eau Delice, what's really interesting about this one is I think orris is kind of like the unsung hero of this fragrance.
For people who don't know, this is the root of the iris plant that gets like fermented in the ground, right? It gets that buttery golden. How would you describe orris?
I mean, yeah, it's the rhizome, the root of the iris flower.
But it still has that vegetal floralness of the iris, but like intense.
Yeah, like imagine like the starchiness of another root vegetable, like a carrot or a potato. Like if you're thinking of that kind of texture, but it had more of the floral smell. A lot of perfumers like to work with orris in perfumery because for them, it's the smell that's most close to the smell of human skin. But, you know, a lot of perfumers will use a musk or they'll use Isoe Super. But I think there's something really like velvety and skin-like about orris. What's really interesting about this one as well is that oud, even though the oud is in the title, I do think that's a bit of a misnomer because I feel like the oud is not the star of this fragrance.
100% agree. In fact, it threw me off when I first smelled it. I was expecting a woodier, more ambery, oudy kind of thing. You still get that gourmand comfort.
Yeah. I think it's really an interesting move to not see, well, one, to have oud in the name, but for oud not to be the hero. But I think that this is a great gateway. Like if you want an oud light, if you are intrigued by the idea of something that has that sort of smoky, balsamic warmth that you might get with like a bigger, heavy hitting oud, but you don't want anything animalic. You don't want anything that's going to be like really, really strong in a room. I feel like Lust Oud de Lys is just, it's like a chocolate musk. It's just, I find this to be so pretty.
It's funny when you describe scents, you lean into texture words. And I find myself always leaning into color words. And isn't that funny how it's so hard to describe a smell and we have to use the words from another area of the senses?
What is this? What color is this to you? Or like, yeah, well, how would you describe this scent?
Right. And so you said velvety. And to me, when the chocolate covered cherry, that's the color combo that this smells like to me. A rich cocoa brown, but with like a maroony syrupy kind of center.
I mean, I co-sign that. It's syrupy and it's dusty at the same time.
Yeah.
But also, it's not to say that it smells like the dessert itself.
No, it's much more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference with the gourmands and the trend that you're talking about. The gourmands are getting more nuanced, more layered, more sophisticated, a little weirder in a good way.
Yes.
Instead of just in your face, like Jessica Simpson desserts circa 2007. Or Victoria's Secret Love Spell circa 2010 or whatever.
Right. And I didn't wear Jessica Simpson dessert, but I ate the sprinkles that came with it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Listen, there are so many skincare products on the market claiming to help reduce fine lines and wrinkles, and you know I will try most of them. But how do you know your products are actually working? Some research to back up the claims. That's why Jess and I are all about Ritual. They created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted a clinical study to take the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual's Hyacera is now a part of my skincare routine, and I got in the habit of taking it every day by putting the cute little purple jar right next to my sunscreen. It looks nice on my vanity, and let's be honest, I love that. But once I stuck with the habit, I really noticed a difference in my skin. I am not the only one. In a clinical study, taking Hyacera for 90 days led to a 3.6-time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles as compared to placebo. And it led to a 2.9 increase in skin smoothness. I also like that they're easy to swallow. The capsules sort of taste like vanilla. They're not all weird and fishy like some other supplements. Plus, Ritual is a certified B Corp, something we learned about on a recent episode. And all their supplements, including the Daily Protein and their Sleep Bio Series Melatonin supplement, are vegan, gluten-free, and made traceable. Do what Jess and I did. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off.
So the next one we're going to smell is the newest fragrance from Goldfield and Banks, and it is a flanker. It is Silky Woods Elixir. I think it's important to note, I'm not typically one who enjoys the flanker more than the original. There are a few exceptions. I didn't even really like the original of this one, and so when I saw that it had a flanker, I wasn't even really inclined to try it, and I'm so glad I did because I actually love Silky Woods Elixir, and I feel really neutral about Silky Woods.
When I say neutral, I say that all the time. My husband thinks it means I hate something. And I'm like, no, neutral is truly,
yeah,
it's neutral.
I have nothing bad to say about it.
People are so quick to love or hate something. Sometimes you're just neutral. And we're neutral on Goldfield and Blank Silky Woods, but we're into Silky Woods, the flanker elixir.
It's more intense to you, right? Elixir.
Well, Silky Woods is just giving me vanilla. And Silky Woods Elixir, I get a lot more of the mossiness. I get the resins. It feels like there's a patchouli note that's in Silky Woods Elixir that's not in Silky Woods. And patchouli naturally can have sort of like a chocolatey kind of thing that it gives off. I don't even know if there's a chocolate note in here, but Silky Woods Elixir, even though it's also vanilla, all of a sudden, what do we get? We get a little cacao. We get a little chocolate.
Do you have a preferred fragrance family?
No. Like Madonna, you can't put me in a box. I'll dabble in every category.
All three of these that you've just shared with us, to me, this is going to sound negative, but have a dusty quality.
I want it.
Do you know what I mean?
Because I'm trying to show you what I'm seeing.
Dusty is not neutral.
No, okay. What's a better word for that, guys? Do you know what I'm saying? It's got that like, it's
dry.
Powdery would be wrong. Dry. Dry is good. Cashmere-y.
I think dusty is definitely accurate for all three of these. They're all dusty.
Come on. Sometimes when you go in someone's attic and it smells so good, you know what I mean? That woody, dusty kind of scent, like dust bunnies, but better. Not mothballs. Dust bunnies. There's a big difference, Jess.
I don't want to inhale any dust bunnies. I have like a coughing Claritin fit right now.
So, Emma, what story are you trying to tell us with these three in the row?
Okay, so I know these are all in like a similar genre. I feel like they read of like, there's like a through line here. And I picked that because I think that this is forecasting what we're seeing right now. So these all have a dustiness, right? Because pistache has some carrot notes, some iris. Then we go to Udalise, which has Helvetia line
iris
and
orris. Iris is dusty.
Velvety. Maybe we could say, velvety, dusty. And then we go to Silky Woods Elixir, which is like a dusty kind of cacao kind of thing from the patchouli. And what I think is interesting is all of these are in the gourmand family. None of them feel like the literal dessert. None of them feel like a very sort of cloying, like saccharine syrupy thing. But there's also this weird vanilla thing I'm seeing right now. I'm seeing it in so many launches. It's so clear in Silky Woods, and you can smell it in Silky Woods Elixir too. That smells like a vanilla syrup, almost like the smell of an egg cream. Have you guys had, I feel like you both have had an egg cream at some point in your life.
Yeah, when I was younger.
It's my mother's favorite drink. For people who are not from the Northeast of the United States, it is milk chocolate syrup, preferably You Bet chocolate syrup and seltzer, but it can't be bottle seltzer. It's got to be like really fizzy good seltzer. Sorry. In my family, egg creams are God, and then you got to do it right.
Yeah. Thank you for holding egg creams to such a high caliber, and I agree.
But the You Bet chocolate syrup is the key, because unlike Hershey's, which is like a chocolatey but saccharine like we were talking about, You Bet has a dustiness. It has that like cacao cocoa, not fake chocolate.
Where does Bosco fit in?
My mom, I think it's Bosco when she does her egg creams.
It's somewhere between Hershey's and You Bet.
Okay.
You're laughing, but you both of you know what I'm talking about when I talk about a chocolate scent.
I know. I'm just laughing because like, how did this turn into like egg cream summit?
Because everything I'm smelling right now, there's a specific vanilla molecule that's like making its rounds right now, and they all smell like egg creams. Vanilla Vice from Sniff smells like an egg cream. The Neon Teak from DS and Durga has like an egg cream vibe to it. What else? I mean, I wrote down a list of other ones.
Mathieu Premier.
Well, I love vanilla. I don't think that has like the egg cream thing though. That one is also just like the strongest fragrance I've ever put on me ever. Like I could shower and it would be there the next day. In a good way.
A big old molecule sticking around. Maybe it's that egg cream molecule. Who knows?
Do you think it smells like egg cream? I feel like I felt like I reached my people, my audience, and asking you too if you get the egg cream vibe from Silky Woods.
I do. I'm missing the fizz of the seltzer. I'm getting everything but the seltzer.
I get like an egg cream.
I like when a perfume is fizzy, like effervescent. I like that.
Yeah. It's hard to do. And there is something that lifts this Goldfield and Banks, which, by the way, thanks for introducing me to this. It's an Australian brand. I have not smelled from them before, but the Silky Woods Elixir, I 100% agree with you that the original is like that guy at the office who has that cologne that you're like, okay, it's woody, it's nice. But then you put the elixir in there and it has this like, hello, Mr. Little Patchouli coming in.
I know. There's just something about it that like takes it to another level. Okay, another question I have as we're sitting here. Were either of you Hanae Mori butterfly wearers at a point in your life? I think we're seeing the resurgence of the Hanae Mori.
All three rose their hands. We are audio, so I need to let people know.
That fragrance made me feel like it was going to be the best night of my life.
It probably was. Because you can't have a bad night wearing Hanae Mori.
No. That was a great fragrance.
Hanae Mori, yes. It is a time, I think, in everybody's life. And the bottle alone is worth revisiting. But I think we have to move us along. We went gourmand. We went egg cream. Where are you taking us next, Emma?
Okay. Another trend that I think is really starting this year, and yes, we can find examples from last year, the year before, I think lavender is going to come back in a way that doesn't feel so Provence. It doesn't feel so like you bought a soap at a crafts fair or like a farmer's market. Or the other way we see lavender often is just like a classic men's fougere, and it elicits like my grandfather in the morning, right? That kind of thing. And I think we're going to see lavender in a way that goes neither farmer's market nor grandfather. Something interesting in the middle.
Okay. And do you have an example of lavender doing that?
This is not a brand new one. I just recently discovered this at the Foya store in Soho. Halo Lunar? I don't know if it's...
Oh, I say Foygia, but yes. How do you say it?
I asked them to clarify for me because I was like, Foywawa? Like, it's Foya.
Yeah.
It's easier Foya. Than... We've made it hard on ourselves.
I was just pronouncing it like... So Foya, what'd you bring us from Foya?
Halo Lunar, which is lavender, sandalwood, and ambergris. So I just feel like it's showing us like a new direction on lavender. I mean, we've seen people sort of kind of tackle like the lavender vanilla, lavender tobacco. Like we've seen kind of that side with like Mont Garlon, example, or like Jean-Paul Gaultier Le Male Elixir. But like, I feel like now we're starting to see it kind of go woody. I think we're going to start to see it kind of go balsamic. Maison Detta, which I know we all love. They have Noisette, which is orris and lavender. I just think we're going to see more contemporary, kind of cool formulations.
Didn't Le Labo just do a lavande too?
Yes.
And it's very green and astringent.
It's like soapy. It's very sudsy and like
it's
floral.
Not what you would think when you think of relaxing farmer's market lavender.
There was a scent, one of my favorite scents that I loved, and it was discontinued. You know, these brands discontinue things all the time. Burberry did years ago, like 10 years ago, a lavender scent. And if anyone remembers which one I'm talking about, please let me know the name because I totally forgot. But it was like pink, like the bottle was all frosted glass, textured, and the juice was like light pink. And they discontinued it. It was a bust. It was a total bust. And I'm not saying it was a bust. It's like not very nice. I don't know if it was a bust.
What like, a dud, Burberry.
But it wasn't like they've had so many big hit fragrances, and it was not a big hit compared to their other fragrances. But it had a note of lavender in it. Hmm. And it was so beautiful.
Maybe they were too soon before the trend was peaking.
I think they were like 10 years too soon.
That's a real thing. Like sometimes something comes out and it flops, and then 10 years later, something comes out and it works. And if I were that brand that did it 10 years before, I'd be like, what the hell? Like, because they did the same thing, but it just didn't work at the time. You have to know your time.
If anyone knows what it is, please DM me because I seriously think about it all the time, that fragrance. It was like a great everyday fragrance.
Was it like a flanker of one, or was it like in like the tall bottle or the short bottle?
It was tall, frosted, textured, light pink juice. And I think...
Burberry Brit Rhythm for Women?
I don't know.
2014. 10 years ago, English lavender, longer available.
Go. That's it. That's it.
We got it.
Can you send it to me? Let me see if I can find it.
I will. It's exactly the bottle you described. And that's often how I remember things too, Jess. Like I have to visualize the bottle and then I'll get the smell.
Yeah.
But Burberry Brit Rhythm for Women.
Good.
Speaking to flankers, and when they just like start adding seven more adjectives on it, you got to love it. But too soon. Also, the name does not connect with the lavender. Rhythm and lavender to me don't go together.
Well, they had like the beat. They had like, they were doing a whole like rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. They were doing
like
the rock and roll thing.
Christopher Bailey thing. Yeah.
But this Foya... Halo Lunar is supposed to be like that little circle that happens around the moon when it's really cold. And it's like an icy lavender for me. So I'm vibing on that.
The inspiration behind all the Foya scents is really cool. And yeah, this is about like the halo around the moon, I think. Did you just read that? Because I feel like I remembered that, but I forgot. But it's like an interesting take on lavender.
I was going by the name.
Oh, okay. I mean, I feel like I could. Oh, here. Okay. The inspiration is, in the Patagonian night, a mystical ring of silver frost encircles the moon. Like the translucent vapor that breathes out from the lips on a cold night, this halo serves as a clue. So it's like an aura, like a nice little orb.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. And that's the vibe that's coming across. So another trend as we move through this is like, let's do lavender in a different way. That's coming.
Yeah.
If you didn't think you liked lavender, maybe you like this. Yeah, it's very clean, this one, too. It doesn't have the cloud-like envelopment of the others that you were talking about. This one's, like, got more of an astringency and iciness.
Big departure from, like, the gourmand. Yeah.
Yeah, we're moving us along.
Should we move to the last one?
Yeah. What do you have?
Okay. I'm probably butchering
the
name.
Smell and tell. Smell and tell.
I'm dancing for people who want the visual. Okay, so this is the newest Hiram Green scent, which, Jen, I know you had mentioned, like, seeing more natural perfumes on the rise. And this is a brand that I believe uses all natural ingredients. And I don't think the difference between this brand and other natural brands is, like, I don't think this one is, like, doing it because, like, I don't think it's necessarily for, like, the clean beauty movement. I think that this perfumer just likes a natural palette
and
more.
Likes the challenge of it. Yeah, like a Mandy Aftel, like, let's see what we can do with what nature's giving us, not because we're all scared of molecules made in a lab. Right.
Right.
Did you just spray it, Jess? What do you get? What do you think?
What's your first impression?
Natural.
Natural.
Natural. Natural.
Green. I love that natural is like people are trying, but you know a natural the minute you spray it because it is missing the depth of the layered olfactive experience. They're thinner for me. Is that a word? Thinner?
Yeah.
But I'm getting jasmine on this.
This fragrance, the reason I wanted to include this, well, I thought that what you had mentioned before we started recording about like the natural perfume boom, I thought this was a good brand to look into. And then I saw that they were launching a carnation fragrance. I definitely get some white florals in the base of this too. I feel like there's like some, bless you.
Oh my God.
Can we leave that in? That's your natural reaction to this.
Oh my God.
Sorry. But that's the other thing. People are always like, I'm allergic to fragrance. I need something natural. I am the opposite. I think that the naturals, like you're going to experience the full naturals.
She needs those synthetics.
No, but keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt with the sneeze.
No, I mean, but that's what a real reaction. This one, I have to look at the pyramid. I feel like there's like some tuberose in here too.
The notes that you sent us in this little thing is flower stems, clove, rose, carnation, jasmine, resins, vanilla, black pepper.
Okay, so no tuberose, but the point is, clove and carnation, I think, are poised to get big. I don't know if we're there yet in 2024. It might be early for the trend, but someday, 2025, 2026, we can come back to this episode because I think we're going to see a boom in this sort
it's
of spiciness.
Clove. I definitely smell clove.
Yeah.
You guys, what does a carnation smell like?
Wasn't that like a fake flower?
No, a carnation has a similar spiciness to a clove. They have similar odorant molecules, like in their structure, but it's a more floral version. And carnation kind of like went out of style because it's in so many vintage fragrances that so many people can't help but associate it with like older generations because it's in perfumes from older times.
Okay.
A spicy floral. Okay.
Oh, I'm thinking of like daisy. It was like something doesn't smell like anything.
Oh, a particular flower that actually doesn't have a scent. Right. When I think of carnation, I think of truly my senior prom wrist corsage in the plastic box because I kept it in my fridge for years. It was after I graduated college, my mom in the garage refrigerator was like, do you still want this? And it was the wrist corsage that Lou gave me.
That's really sweet.
Wow.
Actually, that was my junior prom then. Wow.
I love that.
I'm glad you brought us a natural because, like, watch the space. Like, I feel like we're finally starting to do some more interesting things. Yeah, with the naturals.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see this kind of spiciness. Like, if you smell this, it gives a little, like, Christmas vibe, a little dentist vibe because of the clove. But I think that it's a level of spice that is nostalgic for people because people associate clove with so many memories of, like, Christmas or just, like,
are you
spices
associating
in
clove
home.
With the dentist?
You know, it's not as big in the U.S., but sometimes when I do, like, community events, people from, like, other countries always talk about that they, exclusively smell the dentist.
Well, clove oil was used to numb it back in the day before we had all of the numbing medicines. They would put clove oil on if they were, like, extracting a tooth. So I don't know if that's the association, okay. But I know that that is what clove oil was used for. If you put a bunch of cloves in your mouth, by the way, it will go numb. Do not do that.
That sounds kind of fun. I don't know. Maybe if I need a night where I just want to experiment, I'll stick a lot of clothes in my mouth. Wild.
You took us on such a journey. Speaking of storytelling, you kind of told your own story of trends through the five that you just took us through. That was super fun. Thank you.
We ended on a really powerful scent. I think it's going to be with us all weekend here.
Yes, it's
in my
really
residence.
Big. Yes.
I did a couple of spritzes.
Sorry or you're welcome, depending on how you feel about that.
No, it's cool. It feels very bohemian.
It's weird. This is not a safe blind buy. I would not tell anybody listening to go order this fragrance without smelling it. But if you like a bold, white floral, spicy scent that has a natural vibe, it could be for you.
Harem Green Filter is there for you.
Yeah.
Emma, before we let you go, you've done the Fat Mascara 5, but we have a new Fat Mascara 5 for you. If you
I'm so excited.
Would indulge us.
Yes.
Okay. First up. What's the first perfume or cologne you ever bought?
That would be Gap Dream.
What's a perfume you would never wear? For whatever reason, but we need to know the reason.
Okay. I would never wear one of those like dupe brands of Baccarat. Or any scent, really. But
yeah, I was like, that's very specific.
Designer Imposter's Baccarat.
Because I'm not really wearing the regular Baccarat. So if I was going to wear like a less than Baccarat, that would really be off-brand for me.
What's the best-smelling person you've met ever?
I think it was somebody who was not fully transparent with me about what they were wearing. When I did my matchmaking show, one of the contestants who came on it smelled heavenly, divine, like amazing.
What was
and
she
after
wearing?
The show, so it was a guy. And after the show, I was like, you need to tell me what you're wearing. And obviously, you know that I can recognize a lot of perfumes. And he was like, oh, it's a Le Labo scent called Santal 33. And I was just like, it's not. I mean, maybe that's one of like five things you've layered in this mix of whatever is coming off of you right now. But he smelled divine. And Santal could have been part of the formula, but it was not the end result. And I can say that with full confidence.
Yeah, people mix it up. They put something in their hair or their coat has something.
It was otherworldly. He smelled amazing.
Yummy.
Your favorite smelling food or beverage or snack or something that's just like delectable.
I love the smell of cereal milk. I remember like eating Fruity Pebbles as a kid and just like that milk after. Oof. One that like you really smell from far away, gotta be Nuts for Nuts.
Like the street cart?
Mm-hmm.
Nuts for Nuts. I love all the New York references in this episode so far. The egg creams, the Nuts for Nuts. It's great.
Second Ave Deli. No.
I haven't run this by Jess yet, but I'm like easing it into the Fat Mascara 5 because we started on our Potential Has No Age podcast. But like, what's something you haven't done yet in life that you want to do?
There's a lot. I do feel like...
She's like, I'm not that old.
I'm a little baby, so I take offense. No,
what's on your bucket list?
I didn't want to say bucket list. I got to work on this question, but we're trying it out with a friend. A friend of the pod can handle it.
I thank you for trusting me with this question. I would love to do a limited release fragrance at some point, something small and special, maybe with one of the perfumers that I've met through Perfume Room. And I have a few different briefs in my head, a few different inspirations, but something that's just like a small, special release.
Nice. She's already got the briefs, guys. Hear that? Get ready. Emma, we will hype it up. Like when it happens, if it happens, we will be your hype team. We will be your street team. I'm behind you. I want this for you.
Thank you.
Emma, you get shit done. So go forth.
Emma, thanks for coming on the show. Oh, just so people know, we are also on Perfume Room this week. Anything else going on in your world that we should know about before we let you go?
Yes. Okay. So on Saturday, March 23rd at 4 p.m., I am doing Perfume Room Live. It is going to be a live show. I'm interviewing the legendary perfumer, Rodrigo Flores Rue from Givaudan. And we're going to be smelling fragrances alongside him in the room. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this, tickets are still available. It's at Caveat. You can go to caveat.nyc and get tickets or follow me on Instagram for more details.
Okay, well, maybe Jess and I will even be there. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You're the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.com.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.